prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
That's right. The truth will set you free. Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. We love faith and we love reason.
Mm-hmm.
We love the brain.
Right.
And we love Jesus.
Right. And when we can get the two together, the brain and faith and reason and Christ.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
And today, instead of simply talking about evidence, like we usually do,
mm-hmm.
Last week we talked about whether or not Jesus actually was born and existed. I hope mm-hmm. you all had a great Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we spent a few weeks on, does the Bible have any contradictions at all? Or is it totally, totally true? And I think we showed how to resolve any Bible contradictions.
Right.
We've talked about science and archaeology. But I want to take a moment and talk about Christians and how sometimes we are hypocritical.
Right.
Judgmental. Have you ever experienced someone who's been judgmental?
Oh, constantly. You know, but
I'm not talking about me.
Yeah. No. Well, you know. Well, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
You know, since I've come to Revolution Church, started going to Revolution Church, it's been one of the best church experiences I've had. I don't want to make this commercial about Revolution Church, but I mean, it's great.
You started coming 5-6 years ago.
6 years ago.
And you talked to me when you first came and said you were surprised that people weren't judging you.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
This is actually a pretty common theme when people come to Revolution.
Right.
They're saying, you know, no one's judging me here. And it's kind of freaking me out a little bit.
It does. It freaks people out.
Yeah, because they're not used to a place where they can come and be accepted for who they are, no matter what they wear, no matter what they've done, mm-hmm. no matter what they're doing. It's not that we just say, hey, whatever you want to do is okay, man. It's all cool. But it doesn't matter if you've done wrong, because we've all done wrong.
Right.
Every single one of us.
Yeah.
Jude 2 was a verse that I told people we wanted to memorize in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
Right.
In abundance, Dave.
And mercy.
In mercy.
Being a huge part of that.
Yeah, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. You know, if you deserve to be smacked in the face and someone doesn't smack you in the face, instead they give you a candy bar.
That's mercy.
That's mercy.
Right.
And we want mercy in abundance.
Right. I think this topic is really poignant, being as this is the last day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Or not the last day of the year.
The last show of the year.
The last show of the year. And we're heading into a new year.
Mm-hmm.
People can make New Year's resolutions and stuff like that. Make it a point this year to be merciful, more loving,
forgiving
this coming year. And we're gonna talk about how to do that.
Yeah. There was a pastor who would always start each church service with the phrase, "The Lord be with you." And the people would always respond, "And also with you."
Yeah.
But one Sunday, the PA system wasn't working. So the pastor gets up, and the first thing he says is, there's something wrong with this microphone. And the people respond, "And also with you." All right. Well, that was terrible. Okay. But is it possible that, you know, saying, "Oh, we forgive people, we're going to care about people," has become one of those automatic recitation mm-hmm. things?
Yeah.
You know, we just, yeah, I'll forgive them, I'll move on. But we don't actually care about people anymore. I mean, I don't think so. I've seen a lot of mercy, but I want to be sure.
Right.
I want to be sure that when we say at Revolution Church, or when you, listener, are in your life, when we say that we want to be merciful and forgiving, that we actually are merciful and forgiving.
Right.
Listen to this slowly. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
Who wouldn't want that?
You know, I was babysitting my nephew one time. This is a few years ago. Two of my nephews and two of their friends. And I was all by myself. It was four boys, little boys, probably 3 or 4 years old. And there's three or four of them. And so, sometimes kids can be kind of, you know, untamed when mm-hmm. they're all together like that. And they're young boys, so fighting isn't unheard of. Well, I knew this, so I had brought some candy. And when I first showed up, I started rewarding them for good things right away.
Right.
I told them, "Hey, if you misbehave, you're not going to get candy." So right at the beginning, I had some candy with me. And if they did something even little bad, I put the candy away. Boom. And therefore, they knew acting good, got them candy. Acting bad, got the candy taken away. It was very clear. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, they knew that I would actually follow through on my threat or my promise, right? So as the night went on, they're playing near the computer desk, and Marcus, my nephew, crawls up in a chair. Well, Alex, the other boy, he decides that he wants to be in the chair as well, so he starts crawling up in the chair. But he's having a hard time because Marcus is kind of trying to keep him down there. He's mm-hmm. kicking, and they start pulling on each other, and they both lift up their hands in fists to get ready to hit each other, and all I do is go, "Hey." And they look at me and they remember the candy. And all of a sudden they freeze. And slowly their fists transform from fists into outstretched arms. And both in unison, they say, "Hug."
Mama didn't raise no dummy.
You know, they knew the commandment and obeyed because they feared the consequence, right? Now, I was thinking, you know, what kind of church, what kind of people do we want to be? Do we want to be people who are all about the commandments? You know, "I will punish. And so people are going to follow the rules because we will punish them," like I was willing to punish the children.
Right.
Or do we want to be people of the cross? Now, the cross is where Jesus died on our behalf. It is where Jesus paid the price so that we don't have to. It's all about mercy. Right. I'm thinking we want to be people of the cross.
Definitely.
Not of commandments and judgment. We want to be merciful people. We want mercy in our lives. I don't want someone to judge me for what I've done. Right.
Judgment only happened to one person at the cross.
You Jesus,
know?
Yeah.
Jesus, he took it all for us.
That's right. You know, I wasn't going to give those little boys mercy because I wanted them to behave.
Mm-hmm.
I was training them. But that is God's domain when it comes to adults.
Right.
It is not the church's job to train you. It is your job to love Jesus and let Jesus work on you. And it's not the church's job to punish you. It's the church's job to talk and forgive and love you.
Right.
I mean, we here in Kansas, we have the Westboro Baptists. And they are always condemning people.
Don't get me started.
Here's a little quote that this girl is talking about why they are so full of judgment.
"The purpose of us picketing is not to convert anybody. It is to condemn the world like Noah did when he built the ark."
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
She is not even trying to convert anybody.
"The purpose of us picketing is not to convert anybody."
She doesn't want to convert people. She is just there to condemn people. She says, like Noah did.
Right.
Noah wasn't there to condemn. He was building his boat and preaching.
And you know what's crazy? I fail to see the point that, you know, if you're going to be there to condemn people, what's the point if you're not trying to save somebody?
Well, that's right. I want you, let's listen to this Bible verse, because this is where Peter comes up to Jesus, all right? And Peter's talking about forgiveness, and it's in Matthew 18, verse 21, 22. This is how us Christians should be living. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. No, this is awesome, okay, Dave?
Uh-huh.
This is Peter's first mistake. But Peter assumes there's a limit on mercy,
right?
Just like we do. And we always say, "Well, I'll forgive you this many times, but you've just pushed the limit.
Right.
You've reached my limit." But there is no limit. That assumption only leads to judging other people.
Right. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right. It's totally natural. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to be taken advantage of, so we put limits on mercy. But nowhere in the Bible does God suggest limits on mercy. Nowhere at all. James 2:8, it says, "Keep the royal law found in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself." That's the royal law. It was common for Jews to distinguish between heavier royal laws and lighter laws. In other words, this law is directly from God himself, from Jesus. Love your neighbor. You can't love your neighbor and that be the fulfillment, everything that God wants you to do, and at the same time be judgmental. Put a limit on mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Well, when you judge somebody, not only are you making them feel ostracized, you're making them feel bad about themselves. You know, and there's nothing wrong with somebody feeling bad about something they've done.
Right.
You know, but you are a creature created by God.
That's right.
And so there is not anything about you that is bad inherently because you're a creation of God. It is mm-hmm. It is what we do and our actions that create that.
Absolutely.
Cause us to be evil.
Hey, we're going to come back to this in just a sec. But Dave, what do you think about doing a Bible contradiction right now?
Let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Today's Bible contradiction comes from two Gospels.
Okay.
And those people over at the Thinking Atheist would like to know.
Oh, boy. I love them.
Where did Jesus meet Simon, Peter, and Andrew?
Okay.
Okay. In Matthew 4, 18 and 19, it says, "And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers."
Yeah.
"And he said to them, 'Come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men.'" Well, contrast that with John 1, 42 and 43.
All right.
Says that, "And he," speaking of Andrew, "brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas,'" which is, by interpretation, a stone.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, basically, so the first verse is saying that Peter and Andrew were fishing, and that's where Jesus met them. Mm-hmm. The second one's saying Andrew was following Jesus around, found his brother, and then brought him.
Okay. No surprise here, mm-hmm. but this is not a contradiction.
It's not?
It's not.
Sounds like a contradiction.
Okay. If we were going to go back to our cracked acronym.
Okay.
Which I hope you guys remember. It's been a while.
Uh-huh.
We have C means context. R means revealed. A means author's intent. C means credibility. I'm going to stop there because this is important. You got to get some credit.
Right.
You can't just read it, and if it looks a little bit different, automatically say, oh, it's a contradiction.
Right.
No, okay. You have to use common sense. Sometimes, I mean, every now and then, people interact with each other on different occasions.
Uh-huh.
Like, one time I met you. Another time I was introduced to you again, probably.
That's true.
I forgot your name even.
I can remember both instances.
And one time I met you, the next time I even invited you to play bass in our band. And that's not a contradiction. It's just two different events. If you look here at John, in the John version of this story, Jesus meets them. And it seems like it might be the first time.
Uh-huh.
Because it says the next day Jesus decided to leave.
Uh-huh.
It actually says that in John. And so Jesus left. But in Matthew, Jesus actually comes to them and says, "Follow me," and they left their nets and followed him. They probably weren't going to just follow Jesus had they never ever met him before.
Right.
And so probably they were introduced in the version in John, Jesus left. Later, Jesus sees them again, says, "Follow me," and they follow him.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's the Bible contradiction resolution there. Okay, join us on the other side of this break. We're going to talk about Peter, why he thought giving limits on mercy was important, and why we shouldn't. Come out to Revolution Church, 10:15 this morning.
Yep, about half an hour.
And go online, truthrevolution.tv. Get this show and many others, as well as some truth shots, mini portraits of truth. Mm-hmm. Check you on the other side of the break. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association. KFAPA.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does a dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law? How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
Welcome back.
Talking about untamed mercy today.
And how important it is, because it is important.
It is.
Okay, so Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times?" Now, Peter thought that he is being super merciful. He thought he's giving more mercy than necessary.
Can you out mercy God?
No, well, no, here's the deal. Listen, he was out mercying other people.
Because
he comes and he says seven times. Did you know that in his day, rabbis taught that you should forgive someone three times?
Right.
Granted, three times is a lot. If someone punches you in the face and says, I'm sorry. And then later that day, they key your car and say, I'm sorry. And then later that day, they steal money and says, I'm sorry.
Right.
Like, that's a lot.
Usually three is the limit for any normal person.
And rabbis were saying, look, forgive someone three times. Peter knows that Jesus is like all about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter's all, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? You know, maybe like, oh, I don't know, three or seven times.
Yeah.
And Jesus like says, not seven, but 77.
Wow.
I mean, now, did Jesus literally mean 77 and not 78?
Well, it does say that in the Bible.
Stop it. No. Look. The meaning here, and we have to go to D in our cracked acronym, C-R-A-C-K-E-D, is dialect, meaning you have to understand the language they were using. And he was using some hyperbole. He was using a metaphor. He was just trying to get across the point a lot of times.
Right.
77 times, not just seven times. And so Peter comes and says, how many times? Seven? It's, no, 77. You just keep going. You just keep giving more mercy, more mercy. Jesus is teaching us about this thing that we at Revolution Church called untamed mercy. Untamed as in it's ferocious. It just keeps going and going. Hey, I forgave this idiot seven times. Yeah, you did? Okay, keep going.
You just called him an idiot.
Well, if you have to forgive someone seven times, then you might end up getting called an idiot.
The whole 77 times thing is basically says do it limitlessly, right?
Yeah, basically. That's
just like saying, well, I got like a million miles to travel today.
Right.
You know,
right,
that's exactly. A million miles. But
yes. And see, Peter thought he had it figured out. He's like, I'll say seven. That's plenty of times. And basically, Jesus says, no, that's not enough. If there's a hint that you might not forgive someone at some point, you're not being merciful enough.
Ooh.
Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
That phrase, mercy and peace, it was a common Jewish greeting. Jude, here he adds the word love, because that's where mercy comes from.
Right.
But then he adds, in abundance. He wants it to have a lot of it, a lot of mercy.
Isn't abundance like kind of overflowing?
Well, yeah, in Greek, it literally means to increase to the fullest measure.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we need mercy. How much? More.
More. Get a bigger cup.
Yeah. Right. How much mercy do you want? More.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and think about it, man. Every single one of us has things in our life that we're ashamed of,
mm-hmm.
that we've done. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew there were people who, if they found out the worst about us, their response would be, dude, I forgive you. I love you, man. That I've done wrong too. That's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what God wants us to be.
It would make a different world, and I really think that that's the point.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's what we can be at Revolution Church, at any church, really. I mean, this is how God wants us to live. I love this phrase of untamed, because you know, you picture like a lion who is untamed, and he's charging, and he's roaring, and he's clamoring, and you're like, oh man, this lion, he's wild, he's going to get me, and there's nothing that you can stop him, and you can't reason with him, he's just untamed.
Right, he's going
to
get you.
Yeah, and that's how I want our forgiveness, our mercy to be, untamed. Yeah. People are like, dude, do you know what he did? And you're like, I forgive him.
Right.
No. Don't you understand? It was really bad. Yeah, and I forgive him. And they're like, dude, think about this. I'm like, I don't even have to think about it. It's untamed. I'm wild. I'm crazy. I forgive people. I love people.
Yeah, it's a really crazy juxtaposition when you talk about untamed and mercy, because they almost sound like two totally different things.
Yeah.
But it's like the peanut butter and chocolate. When you put them together, they're oh so good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's like a religion rhesus.
Right.
You know, okay, let's go back to Westboro here for a second. Or,
let's not.
I'm going to get a song stuck in your head, and
no.
You're going to not forgive me. This is the song that they sing. Listen to this.
That's crazy.
I can't believe they do this.
Mm-hmm.
God hates the world. Why would they sing that?
He doesn't hate the world. Why?
No, it's why a direct contradiction to the Bible. John 3:16, which is in every football stadium ever in the United States. God loves the world. Mm-hmm. Why would they sing this?
If God hated the world, Jesus would have never come. And the Westboro Baptist Church never would have been founded. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's crazy to think about, but they're basically biting the hand that feeds them, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I just went ahead and went to my Bible on my computer and typed in God hates, and only one thing came up in the NIV 2011 version.
Okay,
and it was talking about a particular sin about. About idols, basically. Mm-hmm. So God hates idols. God doesn't hate the world.
No.
They shouldn't sing that. They are wrong for singing that.
They are. And even Jesus himself said that the entire law and the prophets hinge on loving God and loving your neighbor.
That's absolutely right. Go back and imagine that lion again.
Mm-hmm.
The lion charging and roaring and screaming. And there's really... there's nothing you can do to stop something that's...
No, you can run.
You can run.
But you can't hide.
I mean, unless you've got like some unnatural weapon. I mean, there's you cannot fight against a lion. And that's what I want our mercy to be. Something that cannot be fought against. It's just overwhelming. It's powerful. It's wild. You don't control it. It's just out there. Someone admits some they were sinning and that they've repented. What do? We attack like an untamed animal, but not with anger. We attack with love and forgiveness and mercy. That's who we want to be. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance.
Abundance. A lot.
What did Jesus say? I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.
Man, I can't even count all that on my fingers. A lot.
Do you have close to 77 fingers?
No, that's why I said I can't even count them on my fingers. I could count seven on my fingers.
Okay.
That's pretty easy. But I'd have to line up about seven people in order to...
That's nice.
Actually, eight people to get the seven in.
Oh, man. Hey, you know, I think we had a question in this week. I want to pause from this mercy thing just for a minute and take a second to answer this question. Yeah. If you guys have questions, you can send them in to questions@truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
Go to the website. We got a form there. We do get questions. We try to respond to them all. Sometimes we respond to them on air. So
yeah, this question is from a woman named Becca. She says, I've been getting into the Left Behind series. In the first book, all of the people who are good Christians and have a strong enough faith vanish to heaven. Those who aren't are left behind, are to face the Antichrist and 7 years of the tribulation. My question is, if it really is a prophecy in the Bible that some people will disappear, or will everyone have to face the end times when they come? That's a deep one.
Okay, good question. We don't have time to go over all of... It's called eschatology, like end time beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to go over all of that today. There are some people, and it is a legitimate Christian view, that there will be a tribulation period that is upcoming, and some people are going to be here. Some people might be taken. It'll be... basically torture for Christians, and then at the end of that, people will be raptured.
Right.
That's one legitimate Christian view. I don't want to say that one view is totally right, one view is totally wrong at this point. I lean more towards a view called partial preterism, where we believe that a lot of what was said in Revelation has already been fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
It was written about Nero. Nero was the Antichrist, or at least a Antichrist. You know, like for instance, one problem I have with the rapture being thought of as it is, people think, oh, well, the verse in Matthew 24 talks about the rapture. Well, Jesus says about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. And so a lot of people point to this verse and they say, oh, Jesus, take me. I want to be raptured.
Right.
Just pointing in fact here. It says, just like in the days of Noah, Noah entered the ark. They knew nothing about what happened until the flood came and took them away. Who got taken away?
The bad people.
The bad people. That's what Jesus says. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and just like that, two will be in the field. One will be taken. The other one will be left. Who's left? The good people. So I have a little bit of a problem with how a lot of times we teach on the rapture. But anyway, there's different Christian views on this. I'm not going to say much more about it.
Yeah, it can cause a lot of argument, but we don't want to do that because some people feel very strongly about their views.
Right. Look, the main thing to get across is this. Jesus is returning.
Right.
And we don't know the day or the hour, but it is imminent. He will return, and there's no question about that. So, all right. So, back to Untamed Mercy. Mercy. Right. Mercy!
Something we want. Something yes. we would want for ourselves, honestly. A lot of people out there love to have mercy for themselves, but they just can't seem to turn it back on other people. Oh, stop!
Why would you sing this? Enough of that. I mean, why would they sing that, Dave? I don't understand. I literally don't understand.
Bad theology. That's the only answer I got. Terrible theology.
What is the royal law? Love your neighbor as yourself.
It is.
It's untamed. It's unabashed mercy. Someone messes up and says sorry, we're all over that. We forgive. We love. Even if they don't say sorry, we still love them.
Right.
We don't hate. God doesn't hate the world. God loves the world. We should live like God.
And that's the gist of the whole reason Jesus came. Mm. That's the whole reason why, you know, things had to happen the way they did. You know, sacrifice needed to be made. It was made, and now we're forgiven. And so we should forgive others. The Bible says that if we don't forgive others, we won't be forgiven ourselves.
So there were three guys talking at a dinner to show how much prestige they had in the home. So two of them are talking about the amount of control they have over their wives. You know, they're bragging like, hey, my wife cares so much about how important I am and blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about how important they are while the third one remains quiet. After a while, one of the first two turns to the third guy and he says, well, what about you? What sort of control do you have over your wife? Well, the third fellow says, I'll tell you, just the other night, my wife came to me on her hands and knees. Now, the first two guys were impressed. They're like, wow, what happened then? And the third guy says, well, then she said, get out from under the bed and fight like a man. Okay, too often. Boom, I got to stop these terrible jokes.
They're terrible.
Look, too often in the church, we're like, get out and fight like a man.
Right.
Or we're scared. We're hiding under the bed. Or we're trying to just impress each other like these guys are doing. And we're talking about who has control. And it's not about who has control. It's not about punishing. It's not about being in charge of someone else. It's about loving people. If we say we love people, but they're hiding under the bed afraid because we're going to knock them out.
Right. Where's the love?
We have not lived the way Jesus wanted us to live. Jesus said this in John 3. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Now, that's true. Basically, this means that, you know, we've all done wrong. We've all done evil. And we don't sometimes like to come to church because we're afraid that what we've done is going to be exposed. People are going to see us. People are going to know we're evil. I have friends who say, man, I can't come to church. If I walk in there, I'd explode.
Right.
Lightning would hit me inside.
I used to actually say that myself about me.
Did you really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And too often, the church makes it more difficult to come into light. We should be making it easier for people to come into light.
Amen.
Let's forgive people. So listen to me, everybody. If you come to Revolution Church, we will forgive and love you. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care if you were a murderer. I don't care if you were a thief. I don't care what you've done or what you're doing. We want to give you mercy like God gave us mercy. Period. And do that to other people.
Amen.
All right. Hey, check us out online, truthrevolution.tv.
Right. You can catch past shows. You can catch this show later on.
You can donate. And I want to say thank you. Huge thank you to everyone who's been donating and making this show happen. You guys are awesome.
Keep us going.
And come on out to Revolution Church, 10:15 this morning. We'd love to have you. We'd love to extend some mercy to you. I got an interesting sermon coming this morning. So, hey. All right. See you next week at truthrevolution.tv radio. Have a great week. And God bless.
Happy New Year.